There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Once again, we're in Washington, D.C., and, of course, the teachers are here, and we're talking about the future of what's happening with kids. We're talking about classroom size. We're talking about everything. It's just wonderful to be here, I have to tell you this, and to be here and to see all these people participating. I mean, for the teachers, it's normal. They get it. For us to be in the media and to get a better glimpse of what's going on, I think is pretty exciting. Sitting with me right now is Jan Clementi. She's the co-founder of the Tyler Clementi Foundation, and alongside with her husband, Joe, she's trying, oh, yes, and I know this story well and did many stories on this. She's trying to make sure, and I'm not going to speak for Jane since she's here, that we learn the consequences of discrimination and bullying. She learned this through, sadly, the loss of her son, being from New Jersey and having family at Rutgers and knowing a lot about this story. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, I didn't really do it justice. First, I want you to tell us about your son and what kind of person he was.
Thank you. Sure. My son was a very creative, caring, kind, thoughtful young man. And he was just about to embark on a great adventure of school. And he unfortunately encountered some cyberbullying early in his first few weeks at Rutgers University. So that is why we started the Tyler Clementi Foundation, to make sure no one else ever feels the pain or hurt or humiliation that Tyler experienced when he did. And the goal of our foundation is to put an end to all online and offline bullying in schools, workplaces, as well as in faith communities.
So in trying to take something horrible that happened and create some positivity in his name, does it feel like that for you? I'm not trying to speak for you, but does it feel that way?
Yes. We want to turn something really terrible into something that will be helpful to other people.
For parents who, you know, because there still is, even though our society has changed, there still is a lot of pressure and a lot of nonsense that goes on, and bullying of all sorts. And what would you tell parents out there? Is there anything, it seems as though from what I read, and now I have you in front of me, that you were close. So it's not that you didn't know, you knew things that were happening, but how could you possibly know that was going to happen and what was going to happen to him? What would you tell other parents? Is there anything they can do? Is there something they can be aware of at a school, or just to ask questions? I don't know.
Those are all great questions, but what we really are trying to focus on today is our day one campaign, which is trying to make empower teachers to change the culture of their school and their classrooms. We think that it's important to raise awareness, which we've been doing for the past few years, but we think it's really important to go a step further and try to prevent any type of bullying from happening.
Okay, so to go a step forward, let's get into the meat of it. What are you doing to go a step forward? What's the program about?
We want to go a little upstream and make it into prevention, not dealing with the aftermath or the crisis situation, but to prevent any future bullying. We hope to change the culture of our classrooms, our workplaces, any group situation.
And in changing that culture, you must be working with people, or well, working with the teachers. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
So getting the teachers to know how to handle or to see maybe some of the red flags. Again, these are all tough areas, but
yeah.
Important.
Well, we're really grateful for Randy Weingarten for having us here, and we're really grateful for the support of the American Federation of Teachers. We think that it's really important to set the tone in a classroom, and by using the Day One campaign, this, which is an an effective research-based initiative, we think that we can change the tone and the culture within a school or a classroom.
Since Tyler's death, I can only imagine you've probably had, how many letters, emails do you get?
Many.
Right. Does that make you feel good that, yes, there's people that are reaching out and they're trying to tell you that, hey, we want to change. We want to try to change things.
Yes, it's very helpful to have the support and encouragement of many, many people. And we've had that throughout our whole journey, and we're very thankful and grateful for that.
And when Randy reached out to you and when the Federation reached out to you, what did you think then?
I thought that this was a great thing to have our day one campaign supported by the American Federation of Teachers, because what better place than in the classroom to change and culture and to prevent any future bullying, because the number one place that bullying occurs is in the classroom. So this is great to have the leaders in the education system supporting us and trying to take a step forward and having a day one in their school, making it a great start for each new school year.
And do you think that helps starting early, start getting the kids in elementary school? I'm from New Jersey, and I have, family that are in elementary schools. And the kids at two of the schools, at Haddon Township is one of them, they signed something where they say, with the Facebook and saying certain things, and they get two strikes, and then they're in trouble. If anything comes up that it just is untoward or bullying-like or whatever, and they have to agree to that at the start of the school year, and they're pretty good about monitoring that, and they haven't had so many problems with it.
It's part of our day one campaign. It's to start early in the initiative in the beginning of the school year, which is why we're promoting it now in anticipation of September and all the day ones and beginnings of school year, and having a person of authority stand up in front of the classroom and declare what is and is not acceptable behavior, and then getting a recognition back, an acknowledgement back from the students that they understand this, and then encouraging them to be upstanders as opposed to being a passive bystander.
And is the idea, too, to take it everywhere you can possibly spread the tentacles? The United States has how many schools do we have? So just take it everywhere?
Great start right here to spread it everywhere.
And by being here, you have the teachers here, so you get a chance to for them to see and hear. Are you speaking, or are you spreading that, or how are you doing that?
Yes, I will be speaking briefly tomorrow and acknowledging that I will be here tomorrow evening during the expo, during the reception time at the Safe and Welcoming and Equitable Schools area. Setting up a display showing how simple it is to go online to dayonecampaign.com and downloading a script and going from there.
So you've got a script day one, and they can look at that, and that will give them an idea of what they can do and how that can work.
Yes, it's a specific script that they should speak. It's a specific script that they can read on the first day of class. We ask that no one deletes anything. They can add something to it if there's something specific to their school, but not to delete anything from the script.
Yeah, since this is day one, I hope that, we'll spread the word here in America Tonight, but I hope many, many more people have you in to speak, because you know how that is, and in the viral world we live in for the good reasons, it'd be great to see that really get out there. And I'm encouraging everybody listening to America Tonight. Tell us again, they can go to find out more.
Dayonecampaign.com.
Dayonecampaign.com for all of you teachers and for others who have children that are in schools. I have a ton of listeners who have kids.
Right, or any group. If it's a sports team, if it's a scout group, if it's a fraternity, any group of people that gather together. We also use it in workplaces also.
Yeah, and we've seen that too. It's happened with fraternities lately and some other groups too as well. Wow, you are just terrific. I wish you the best, and again, for all the listeners of America Tonight, pump the word out there. Day one campaign. We'll be talking about that more. Jane Clementi, thank you so much, and we wish you the best as you continue to push this. Thank you.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. But once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without a Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Have you noticed that in a disaster, the store shelves are emptied? Don't panic. You don't have to be part of the fear and chaos if you have a supply of GoFoods. GoFoods can help you rest easy knowing your greatest dependency of food is covered. Call now to take advantage of our Freedom Packs or set up your food savings account. Call us at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 1-800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Now, a twice-as-nice twin-kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin-kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now, Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin-kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
Tonight, and we've got Todd Reynolds with us. He's AFT's Maryland political coordinator. Ooh. When you say political in front of anything, that can be dangerous these days.
Scares me too.
Scares everyone. He's a doctor, Dr. Reynolds. He's the coordinator, by the way, as I said, from Maryland. He apparently, according to his bio, he was instrumental in organizing members, and this is huge, actually, in fighting back against the governor, Larry Hogan's legislative agenda, and he fought off huge cuts, I remember this, to education and a charter school bill that would have actually chunked away the quality of the teachers in Baltimore and Maryland's classrooms. And, you know, it's funny, we were just talking about community schools and how well they're doing in Baltimore and some of the other things.
Oh, yeah.
So first, explain what that was like, that plight, because everybody across the nation was watching that.
So a lot of it has to do with when the governor, a Republican governor in a pretty solidly blue state, won kind of a surprising election. When he won, he didn't really have, or when he was running against the incumbent lieutenant governor, Larry Hogan didn't really have much of an education platform. He ran basically on your taxes are too high, cut taxes, that sort of thing. There was a little bit on making government more efficient, cutting out waste, fraud, and abuse, but nothing at all in education. So when he gets elected into office, he has to come up with what's his education platform, what's his education legacy gonna be, because he can't obviously have nothing. So he introduces, within the first 2 weeks of his administration, a charter school bill that basically would make Maryland's charter schools resemble the charter school laws of Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Missouri, New York State. Basically, changing laws that would make it more prone to corruption that we've been seeing in some other states. Very limited oversight, numerous authorizers. The teachers would not be part of the collective bargaining unit of the rest of Baltimore City. So we had to challenge that. So that was, you know, a big fight, because a significant portion of our membership teach in charter schools in Baltimore City. It's important to note, too, that there are, in the entire state of Maryland, I think 41 charter schools, 33 of them are in Baltimore City. So we're talking about a huge, huge majority just in Baltimore City alone. We're facing intense poverty, and rather than funding education fully, they just essentially just try to, you know, privatize it. And so essentially what the governor did was, without any real education expertise in his background, he took his, you know, cue from a lot of national charter experts who say, hey, what can I do to get my education bona fides? And they said, change your charter school law to make it so we can open up more charters willy-nilly without any oversight and without any rights for the teachers, that sort of thing.
And the problem of doing that, we saw some of the things that happened in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It tanks the charter schools, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It tanks the levels. It tanks how, you know, everything that's the quality that so many kids fight so hard, and families where they have to have a drawing to pull them in, whether or not they're going to get in the school.
And some of them, Maryland's current law is interesting. Some of them are under lotteries. One of the things that the governor's people would say was like, well, there's such a huge wait list for a lot of these charters, so if we open up more charters, that would be good. Well, they failed to acknowledge or point out that, yeah, there are a number of people on a waiting list for charter schools, but they're, like, for example, I could be on multiple waiting lists. So it's not individuals adding up to, like, thousands and thousands of people. It could be just, like, you know, dozens here, dozens there, but it could be the same dozens trying to get their kid into any of these schools. Mm. There are some and some successful charter schools that we work really well with and that have a successful model. And rather than trying to replicate that model in Baltimore, the governor's bill would have done was just open it up completely to some of the issues of waste fraud that we see in New Jersey. You mentioned Philadelphia. This would have been really, and we have people from Philly coming in and saying, hey, here's what your law would do, and here's what we're dealing with in Philadelphia. I think something like a majority of the charter schools are under investigation or look for fraud. So that went a long way to show that, like, hey, what we got in Maryland is a good law. Let's see what these successful charters are doing and how we can replicate that rather than just getting rid of any oversight completely and just people who want to make a buck off our kids' education, which is not a good thing.
No. So tackling this issue, it's funny, for everybody in radio, it's Theater of the Mind. I'm looking at you holding a sign, I commit to help reclaim Baltimore by registering new voters. Mm-hmm. What was that push like?
So this has been in response to what's been happening with Freddie Gray.
Yeah.
I can just go on and on about this. When Governor Hogan was elected, he was elected maybe a few months after or during the height of some of the protests that were going on in Ferguson.
Right.
Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, New York, a lot of that stuff in New York was going on, the cries for justice. And someone asked Governor-elect Hogan, you know, what he thought about this. And he responded by saying, I don't think any of this applies to Maryland. You know, which is a haunting words months later when we see what happens with Freddie Gray and the protests that we were seeing and the police brutality. So what we've been trying to do in the AFT Maryland and Baltimore Teachers Union is recognize, and I don't think this gets to some of it, I don't think it's not necessarily just in the governor, but there is a proclivity of people who, I don't know how else to call it besides willful ignorance, not having a critical eye into some of the problems that are impacting American cities, Baltimore being a really good example, saying, oh, there's no problem at all in Baltimore, and then months later that prove that that is not the case. What we're trying to do in the AFT Maryland and Baltimore Teachers Union is recognize that one way we can definitely impact our surroundings, make life better for us, is through more participation in the democratic small d process. A lot of people didn't turn out to vote in the 2014 election in Baltimore City. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we a Republican governor was elected. There were the three heavily Democratic jurisdictions in Maryland, Baltimore City, Montgomery County, and Prince George's County, and turnout was less than 25% in each one of those locations.
Wow.
So, you know, and you know, a lot of people, when they, getting back to the very first thing you said to me, a lot of people see politics, small p, and they get really intimidated and say, that's not for me, that's not anything that I, that impacts my world, I'd rather do something that I enjoy or I think is going to impact my world. Well, we're trying to point out, in Baltimore City in specific, that you can positively impact your community by participating and get your community to participate further in a democratic process. And it just doesn't end or begin in the voting booth, but it's engaging with the candidates, letting your candidates know, heck, running if you think it's no one's listening to you, letting candidates know what your issues are locally. You know, it's a really big problem that we close down this community center, this rec center, because that's what a lot of kids would, you know, use as, you know, their time after school. So that you can positively impact your community. We have a sense of, you know, self-autonomy. We can make things better for ourselves, but only if we participate in the democratic small d process.
I say that all the time. I say on the show that I don't care. I mean, I actually even have a funny line where I say, I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, or whatever you label yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How come people have suddenly stepped away from, you know, we can't talk about politics, we step away from the table, when exactly what you just said, it affects you in your own backyard,
right,
with community centers or dollars spent or schools.
Right. Well, there's a lot to be said about that, and I don't know how much time you have. But I think part of it is people feel that what passes as politics is almost like a sport that doesn't matter to them.
Right.
It's so hyper-partisan and confrontational. You know, this is, I used to teach college, and this is something that I see in my students, that, you know, they don't want to get involved in politics because what they see is people yelling at each other without really getting anything done.
Yeah.
And then once you elect people that you think are going to get stuff done, they, something happens that you don't, you're disappointed in one level or another, something
right.
that you'd hope, had such high hopes for this, and it didn't happen. And a lot of people are just like, well, throw their hands up. There's nothing we can do. We're just going to elect these people. Politicians are going to do what they want to do. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with I think the Citizens United has had an impact on that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of money that goes into it, and a lot of ability to distort some things. And some people say, like, well, we're not reporting news. We're just reporting an opinion, that sort of thing. And so there's a lot involved.
You think the media is biased?
Sure.
No, I'm saying callers will call up and say that constantly. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, because people are not taking the initiative to inform themselves and look at the clutter and figure out what they think is true and what they think is slanted or whatever.
Sure.
It's interesting. I love this. I could talk politics all day, so I don't shy away from the P. Todd Reynolds, but thank you.
It's important that we do try to get engaged. Try to get people more engagement. That's kind of the project. It's a mountain because, you know, a lot of people have just been disillusioned by it and think that, hey, you know, we've been voting in Baltimore and still we have these problems for generations. And, you know, it's a long-term project, but it's something I think we got to take up.
Absolutely. Todd Reynolds.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit to per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams, but I can hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street. I need you reading news today, they say the danger's gone away, but I can see the fire's still alight. Running into the night, there's too many men, too many people, taking too many problems, not much left to go around. Can't see this fear and confusion. Well, this is the world we live in, and these are the hands we
Welcome back to America Tonight. We're in Washington, D.C. We're doing the teacher thing, and we have Michelle Accardi with us. She's a National Board Certified Teacher in Early Childhood through Young Adult Exceptional Needs Specialist. You know, we've actually delved into this on America Tonight. She's the Director of State Policy. This is a long title. Director of State Policy and Advocacy for the National Board. This is really important stuff. And she hails from one of my favorite places, Albuquerque, the Albuquerque Public Schools. Oh, I used to be, that was my first gig peeps when I got out of college. I got a great job at KOB, and I still have a fondness for Albuquerque and everything New Mexican. So we are happy to have you with us.
I would have brought you some green chili.
Oh, I just somebody brought me some last week, and I had green chili enchiladas, and they melted in my mouth.
Now I want some.
Oh, people don't understand that green and red chili thing, hot, medium, mild. Oh, the best. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
Well, you have an interesting and yet difficult lane, and this is an area that a lot of people focus on across the country. First of all, what are the challenges that you face now, currently, in modern times, in the avenue that you're in early childhood and exceptional needs especially?
Well, exceptional needs teachers, special ed, as it's called in a lot of the country, we're seeing students, numbers of students with autism increasing, students with a variety of disabilities. And another challenge that's very real is we have a lot of students who are misidentified as being special needs students. A lot of times it's a special needs team that can come in and say, what we're dealing with here isn't a developmental disability. This is a language issue. This is a poverty issue. And so those are challenges that we really find our exceptional needs board certified teachers are helping to step in and fill those gaps so that everyone's getting the education that they need in an equitable way.
So, it's interesting in saying misidentifying, that is huge. I mean, even from autism to ADHD, and I know that now there's new things in the classrooms where some kids get more time to do tests, and that's worked miracles with a lot of kids where they're correctly identified. So what's being done to try to correct that? Because that's a pretty broad problem, not just in New Mexico, but all over the country.
It really can be a very significant issue, and one of the things that we focus on at the National Board is making sure that all of our teachers across all 25 certificate areas, not just the exceptional needs teachers, are well versed in differentiating instruction for students. How do you deal with that kid and determine whether this is an issue where maybe they just need a little more time, or do they need to visit a specialist? And we give teachers the opportunity to prove that they meet those standards and have that knowledge, so that the states and districts can rely on the teacher as the expert. And also we encourage our teachers who are board certified to step up on committees, to work with their elected officials, to step into leadership roles so that they can take their expert voice from the classroom into the boardroom and onto the legislative floor.
How important is it to have more board certified teachers? Because I don't know what the numbers are, but I guarantee they're not as high as we would like them to be. We see it in other professions. There's a reason why lawyers do it. There's a reason why doctors do it.
Absolutely. Right now, there's actually only about 3% of the teachers in America are board certified, as opposed to about 95% in medicine. We're working really hard to make it more accessible and affordable for teachers, working with a lot of state legislators to find pathways so that when you go into teaching, your ultimate goal is board certification, and that it should be what all teachers aspire to and most teachers achieve. The reason it's important to parents is students of board-certified teachers will show time and again on research they gain 1 to 2 months additional learning for every year they have a board-certified teacher in the classroom. Now, if you're not an educator, that might not sound like a lot, but stack up 2 months additional learning from kindergarten through 11th grade, and when your kid's ready to take the ACT, they've got an additional year of learning.
Oh.
That can make a lot of difference when you're talking about college scholarships, getting into the right career school. So we really want to work hard, and we feel like it's a great investment for legislators, taxpayer dollars, to make sure you're getting the most out of the teacher that you've got into that classroom.
So, I mean, you answered the why. The why is that year is so significant if you add up, as you say, those couple of months and just 3%. And that goes to affordability because it's a lot to take the test to do that. What would you learn? What would it entail with board certification?
When you go for board certification, you have to actually go to a testing center and take a day of exams that are specifically based on the content. So if you're a high school math teacher, you're doing calculus and trigonometry.
Nice.
If you're a special education teacher, you're talking about transition planning and defining disabilities. That's for all 25 certificate areas. So there's the actual testing. You do videotapes of yourself teaching and analyze the lesson. You have to show student work and how that work was planned, the impact it had on students, and where you're going to go next, how you differentiate for different students. And then you also have to show your contributions to the professional learning community, the community at large, and how you're making all those connections to have that impact on student achievement that you want to have.
Wow. So, you know, and we started off and we're addressing the problem and talking about the, what's happening. What's been the most exciting thing that's happened recently for you in your world as a result of all of this?
You know, I've got two projects I'm really excited about. One is that the National Board is now working with the Bureau of Indian Education, bringing board certification to the Native American reservations, which, despite the best efforts of some people, have really terrible outcomes for students right now. A suicide rate is high as 19 times the national average on some of the reservations. So we're excited to be intervening in that. And then we're also doing some work funded by the Kellogg Foundation to improve K-3 literacy in the Mississippi Delta. And that's also work we can all feel pretty good about, making sure that those kids are ready to read by the time they're ready to go to, you know, go to school and get into those early literacy situations.
Right, and people don't, I don't know what it is, but people don't believe that that still exists. You know, it's, you say reading, writing, arithmetic, but it really does, doesn't it?
It really does, and when we're working with our literacy, reading, and language arts specialist, setting those foundations in those early years make it possible for kids to go on and achieve their goals, whether that's college, career, you know, whatever type of goals they want to have. We have to set children up with the skills that they're going to need, and that requires a teacher who knows how to take things from the textbook and make them real and alive and accessible for a child, no matter what that child's background is.
And I would think, coming back to the special needs, that autism, which is now has exploded with people trying to figure out, is it autism, what is it? And there, you really do, it really is a different world, isn't it, that you have to be able to figure out what's inside the child's head. Am I right?
Well, and figure out ways to help them
yes.
get that knowledge out
yes.
to the rest of us. I used to work with a lot of students with autism in my program, and it's about differentiating the curriculum and really partnering with families. A lot of times, families are so disenfranchised from the school system, particularly if they have a student with some difficult behaviors, with a disability that may make it hard for them to advocate for themselves. And as the education professional, you have to bring those families into the classroom, make them part of the system so that they can we can all work together for their child.
Yeah, absolutely. Michelle Arcadia, next time bring Shirley.
I will absolutely do that for you.
Have
a great
fun.
Day.
Thanks. All right, pretty interesting talking to Michelle Arcadia there, and the fact is, you know, and she said it, it's very difficult in some of these situations where we're talking about kids and trying to diagnose what it is, especially if we're talking about, without a doubt, if we're talking about autism, you know. Could it be any bigger than that? And how awful it is. Some of the parents who've dealt with autism, and they in their kids, and they're fighting with the schools, they're fighting with themselves, trying to figure out, wow, what is the direction we take? What do we do here? A couple of big things to re-rack for you, and one of them was Scott Walker makes the big decision. He's in. Are you shocked? He's really been running all along. Let's face it. It was time to declare. He did. He's number 15. Wow. That is crazy. Also, pretty close to the Iran nuclear deal, but really, what does it mean anyway? It's better to have a deal than to not have a deal, but will the deal have any real meaning? Or is what's going to happen? You know, this has been pushed. This is the fourth push. I'm sure they're going to come to an agreement, but how significant will that agreement be is what I would be very, very, very curious about. And then Hillary Clinton earlier in the day announcing her economic strategy, raising taxes on the rich and reforming Wall Street. She's definitely going after Bernie Sanders and the progressives and leaning a little bit more to the left from what I could gather from the little bit that I heard of the speech. And then quickly, this one last thing, there's a big outrage in our country over the escaped drug lord El Chapo, and Mexico is launching a massive manhunt after his escape, and we'll be talking about that even on our next show, but pretty pretty scary when you think of some of the things that this guy, some of these unbelievable things that this guy has done in his lifetime. And, I mean, there you go. What is it with this whole escaping thing and prisoners? Didn't we just go through this in a much different direction? So there has been some big reaction. I mean, this is a cartel kingpin, without a doubt. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America's Tonight.
There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling 'cause I need you here.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. Even very smart, very accomplished people. It's part of being human. A quote taken out of context, a legal problem, an unfortunate photograph. Once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Because people love to dig up dirt, even when it's not real dirt. Put it to rest. Call for a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. Businesses, public figures, and professionals turn to Reputation.com for good reason. We protect your online image by helping make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Learn more about what the experts at Reputation.com can do for you. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Okay, honey, I have to ask, and be honest here. Have you been taking a little blue pill? Because things have been pretty good in the bedroom lately.
No, I swear.
You didn't pick anything up at the Pharmacia last month in Cancun?
No.
Well, something's different.
I have been taking that heart and body extract you bought me.
But that's for your heart and to control your cholesterol.
Well, I read HB extract also promotes healthy prostate function.
I never guessed it would work this well, but
you're glad it did.
Oh, yeah.
Heart and Body Extract is a 100% organic formula that promotes a strong heart, healthy arterial flow, better circulation, improves erectile and prostate gland function, and provides youthful energy, strength, and stamina. Find out more at heartandbodyextract.com. Heart and Body Extract paired with healthy heart choices is a winning combination. Call toll-free to order or for free information. 1-866-295-5305. 1-866-295-5305.
We're in Washington, D.C., and of course we're here for the big meeting. I want to make sure I get it right because I love the title. Your Voice Matters, AST, Reclaiming the Promise. Your Voice Matters. I love that title, I think, of this conference. Steve Therapist is joining us now. He's the president of Education Austin, which is just a stone's throw away. I've got to look in Austin from our satellite studio in Dallas where we air America Tonight. And as the president of Education Austin, and, you know, that is the employees union for Austin ISD. It's got to be kind of interesting because Texans are funny about unions, right? It's right to work thing. Funny. So what do you have to combat with that? Was there much in combating that?
Well,
what happens? People think you don't have a collective bargaining, you don't have a union. I pay my dues every month. I got 3,000 members paying dues. I made it to Sunday, so let's speak to the union. And I think there's a perception that collective bargaining is the only way to find power. And what we've discovered is that there's a lot of ways to take power. And you organize around issues, you mobilize people. We have plenty of power.
And so tell us about that. So what do you do with no collective bargaining? What is it that you rally around issues? And there are plenty of issues. I probably could come up with three or four, and you'd probably say, yeah, that's exactly
sure,
right.
Sure, absolutely. There's so many issues that we do deal with. We deal with issues around special ed, around curricular issues, around LGBTQ, around community schools, a lot of different issues that we deal with that are outside the realm of just the bread and butter wages and benefits that people kind of corner us with. What we do is we try to identify an issue that teachers are feeling and they want to organize around. Maybe it's over testing. Maybe it's about special ed services. Maybe it's about just any social justice issues, DACA, DAPA, immigration reform. We then begin to identify teacher leaders that will begin to organize and mobilize around that. We build committees. We start to then go to the district and talk to them about these issues. And we begin to push on these issues. Rather than those issues being embedded and addressed through a contract, we have to take them as singular issues and address it with the district.
You said a lot of the issues, but what to you is the toughest issue right now that you're dealing with?
What is the toughest issue right now?
Is it the immigration, tackling the immigration woes of kids in schools and all that?
Really, I think it's about the biggest issue we have is facing the reform movement and how it manifests itself in our community through charters, the attempts of taking over district schools with charters or outside charters, and how we maintain the integrity of public schools as public schools, not the guise of public schools within a charter school system, but real public schools that love every one of our kids, that don't skim and trim a single child. So we deal with we believe that public schools address the poverty, the issues of poverty, and the needs of kids out of poverty that charter schools will never do.
It's interesting. I like that phrase, skim and trim, that you don't want to see that happen, and what public schools are doing in Austin. And in talking about poverty, what is it that you do do you try to set up a community, kind of sense of a community
What we're doing in Austin right now is we're really focusing on the community school model, sustainable community schools. We want to see kids. We know that kids, our schools and our teachers are not failing our kids. Our system that's dictating change fails our kids because they think that kids can be figured out through a test, that we can just choose them. They can choose to go to a school here or there through a chartering system that will address those needs. It's wrong-headed. We have to address every kid and their needs that come to school. So when we have poverty, issues of poverty, that's where we have our greatest challenges nationally, is kids that are in poverty. How do we address that? Community schools will begin to address that through a number of different items. We're going to give wraparound services. We're going to have strong academics. We're going to make sure teachers and parents are involved in the kids' future. We're going to make sure that we don't have this prison pipeline, that we're dealing with the real underlying issues of why a kid might be acting out, not making judgments, but finding out reasons so that we can address those things. When we have all of that wrapped around a child, we make sure that child's successful.
You know, it's interesting. We're speaking with Ken Zarifas, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, talking about the prison pipeline. Boy, that is sad, isn't it? And who is profiteering at the prisons?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have this, prison industry. You know, there's no doubt about it.
It
was over the last 20, 30 years of how it's grown. And you have to, when you have a business model, you have to maintain that business model. So you need people to come in, and those are the dollars. And so when we're looking at kids in third grade, we're looking at the kids that fail a test in third grade and say, this is what we're going to build out our prisons for the next generation. We find there's a very insidious nature to testing, that is being used for nefarious ends through the prison industry. And we've got to stop that. Mm. We have to take ownership of how we've contributed to that, but know that we're just part of a much larger picture of a society that has funneled kids into a punitive system that leads many of our kids, sadly, to prison. And we have to be conscious and intentional about breaking that and not be afraid to own it. Know what we did, and step up and change it.
So how did you, you know, 3,000 members, that's pretty good. As you said, there is a different way to do this, to skin the cat, for lack of a better way to say it.
Right.
And in getting those teachers involved and getting people together, what has been the biggest benefit for them? All the sharing, all the information, all the things that they wouldn't have necessarily gotten and been blocked from?
Well, I think the benefit is how it impacts their children. Everybody in education wants their child to succeed. Teachers, parents, administrators, district people, they all want the kids to succeed. So that's the benefit at the end of the day. We see other things. We see that people begin to understand the union is more than just pay and benefits, that we care about that. Pay and benefits are a social justice issue. Economics are social justice, and we believe in that, and I'm not ashamed of that. But it's much more than that. And they begin to understand the union is more, and Education Austin is more for the Austin community than just the teachers. It's about the community and how we build better schools, how we sustain our neighborhoods, how we make success out of what some people want to characterize as failure.
And, of course, how do we do that? You know, there's so many conversations about testing. Is there over-testing, or is it... the system seems so upside down to me.
My whole involvement in the union was born out of testing. I was an 8th grade language arts teacher for 12 years at one of the highest need middle schools in Austin, Texas. And all the pre-testing and testing occurred. It ended up taking 44 days of my school year out, and of the kids' school year, one-fourth of the school year. That's unacceptable. It's appalling. So I got involved 8-9 years ago, and that's what led me to running for office. But yeah, we absolutely overtest. We continue to overtest because we believe that we don't believe, but the system believes that if you just test enough, you're going to find out the problem. No. Talk to teachers. Talk to parents if you want to find out the struggles and the needs of kids, and to begin to fill those needs with the dollars you're spending on Pearson and other entities to start, you know, to test our kids to death. Take those monies and get the kids support, and I guarantee you're going to find success that a test would have never given you.
Yeah, and are you starting to see that, some of the fruits of your labor? Is that what of everything that you've been able to accomplish? What really excites you the most?
What excites me the most is when we start to collaborate with parents, with communities, with nonprofits in a way that really supports our kids. When we start seeing that teachers are valued in the classroom, that they are truly the expert, not some wonk or some policymaker or some politician that thinks they know, that hasn't been in school for 40 or 50 years, they don't have a clue about public education, what's good for kids. Who knows what's good for kids? Parents and teachers. Ask them, and they'll unlock the door. You know, support personnel. Talk to a custodian. When was the last time a politician talked to a custodian on what's happening in school? A TA, a bus driver. Talk to the people that are dealing with kids every day, and they'll tell you what they need.
Right, and they're the ones who know. They're on the ground level, right?
They're the experts. Every one of them is the experts. And when we get out of our world of policy making and get into the real world of education, we understand what's important.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if you could do that? You take the politicians, let's go on a road trip, and we're just going to indoctrinate you just for a day, and you can make your own mind up, but let's show you a few things.
It's exactly what we're trying to do. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's what we're wanting to do in Austin. I'm wanting to go to all of our board members as we go into, we're looking for a raise district-wide, and some want to give our classified or our support personnel less of a raise than our professionals. And we find it insulting in an expensive city like Austin, the hourly workers who are barely getting by. Go out for a day, spend a day with a custodian. Go out for a day, spend a day with a bus driver. Tell me they don't deserve, you know, 3% instead of your 1.5. deserve 5% pay raise this year. Tell me they don't work as hard as any teacher and every professional.
Right.
You know, it's these people don't understand it because they don't take the time to understand it. And sadly, I'm afraid they don't want to understand it.
Right, and that's part of the problem, isn't it? That it's just the blinders and, as you said, policymakers.
It doesn't fit their agenda.
Yeah.
And so reality, truth, doesn't necessarily work with their agenda. And we've got to expose the truth to them so it changes the agenda.
Ken Saravis, keep fighting the good fight. That's good news, brother. Thank you.
So much.
Thanks for being on America Tonight.
Well, thank you.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.